By the way, there's a 2019 report by the Healthcare Cost Institute that found insulin prices have doubled between 2012 and 2016, which I'm sure it's even gone up since 2016. But it doubled. It went from an average out-of-pocket cost going from $2,864 to $5,705. Now, State Senator Matthew Lesser, he's a Democrat from Middletown, 9th District, he took to his Facebook page and posted a video saying that the accusation that the bill is an insulin tax is complete BS. He says, quote, there's no truth to it. We're looking to make sure that we can cap out of, we're looking to make sure that we can cap out-of-pocket costs for people who are struggling with skyrocketing insulin prices. This is something that other states have done on a bipartisan basis, end quote. That's from State Senator Matthew Lesser. State Representative Craig Fishbein from Wallingford, he tweeted out, quote, just when you thought your life-saving medications were safe from the Democrats, boom, they suddenly appear to tax and tax and tax once again, end quote. To discuss this a little further, let's bring on that state representative from Wallingford, State Representative Craig Fishbein. Craig, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Not bad. How about yourself? How are things in Wallingford?
Oh, fantastic.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. It's a great town, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, the lowest electric rates in the whole state.
I know it. You know why? Because they have their own electrical company there that only does Wallingford.
Yeah, well, actually, we do a portion of North Brantford also, and I'm very honored to also, I sit on the town council in Wallingford also, so very knowledgeable about what's going on with electrical rates.
Well, before we get to this insulin thing, which I really want to talk to you about, I know a lot of people are really upset with it, how can we get that company in that does Wallingford and North Brantford, the electrical company, to kind of get out there and get into more towns? So the other towns want to take advantage of the low rates.
Well, the problem with that would be that the state would then swoop in and say, you got to charge higher prices.
So, we can't catch a break. You can't catch a break in this town. We have higher electrical rates in the state of Connecticut than we do anywhere else, I believe, in the country.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's why Wallingford is an island, an island of stability in a morass of fiscal instability.
Well, and to that point, how did Wallingford become the anointed one?
Well, we are very good at hedging. We have our own Public Utilities Commission. Our forefathers back in 1961 set up that process, as well as we have our own water company. Many times I joke, because we have our own airport, that we should secede from the state of Connecticut.
Oh, man. Well, maybe that wouldn't be such a bad idea. Whatever you're doing it well, and keep up the good work. Okay, so let's talk about this insulin bill. I just read your quote. And then I also read State Senator Matthew Lesser's quote as well. He's saying that it's just an accusation. There's no truth to it, and that they're looking to cap it out. Rather than add a tax to it. So what's the truth here?
Well, I mean, there's one of two things going on here. Either what Senator Lesser is saying is true, and unfortunately he didn't read the bill before it was submitted, or we go by the text. And the text very clearly states, it's very quick, that the general statutes be amended to require the Commissioner of Consumer Protection, in consultation with the Commissioner of Social Services and the Insurance Commissioner, to impose a fee on the manufacture and distribution of insulin. Gary, as you are very familiar with, unfortunately, in the legislature, many people on the other side of the aisle don't recognize that when they tax or they impose a fee, that ultimately it's the end user that ends up paying a higher amount, and that's clearly what this says, to impose a fee. It doesn't carve out bad actors. It says if you want to distribute or manufacture insulin, you're going to pay the state of Connecticut a tax.
All right. Well, you're right. And a tax by any other name, including fee or user fee or toll, it's still a tax. I Democrats have a hard time differentiating between the two, but I see and you see right through it. It's a tax. So here's my question then. For on insulin, was there already a tax to begin with? And then the Democrats are just trying to cap it, saying we can, you know, we're not going to allow anybody or any entity or any government or any legislature to go above and beyond this cap? Or was there not a tax on insulin to begin with, and then they truly are adding this fee slash tax?
I don't believe that there presently is a tax on that, and I'm just going by the simple language of what's being proposed here. I believe that the, you know, as they start to backtrack, that they want to cap what a distributor or manufacturer actually earns from manufacturing or distributing, which would be, you know, them stepping into the free market system, which is a totally different situation. But the language as proposed appears to be a brand new tax. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm in the system right now, and this bill as drafted is still in the system. They haven't replaced it. They haven't removed it. 20 different Democratic senators signed on and approved this language.
But the language isn't that descript, right? There's only a few lines to that bill.
Yeah, but it clearly says, it doesn't say to impose a fee on the bad actors in this industry. It doesn't say to impose a fee upon those that are found to have violated some sort of consumer protection rule. That just merely says to impose a fee.
A fee that wasn't there to begin with. So it's a brand new tax on this bill that the Democrats would like to impose, a new tax, which never existed in the past. They want to impose a tax on insulin.
That's what I read this to say, yes.
Wow. Well, that's pretty disturbing. You know, and I don't know how Senator Matt Lesser can say that that it's not, that it's, to use his quote, it's BS. An insulin tax is BS. This is a direct quote from Senator Matt Lesser. So where is he coming from when he says that?
I can't speak for another senator, but certainly there is a vehicle by which these 20 senators can ask to have this proposed bill removed from the system. And they have not done that as we speak right now.
Is this a placeholder bill, a dummy bill, so to speak?
Well, it's really more descriptive than to be a dummy bill, because, as you know, you and I both know, usually a dummy bill will say, an act concerning insurance,
right? Or, yeah, you know, a real vague title, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I did, you know, I always vote against dummy bills because they just create problems. But no, this is really pretty specific. And even the statement of purpose reiterates that, you know, very troubling language.
Okay, so where do you believe this bill, since it's still in the system? All right, you're looking at it right now, live.
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
Yep.
Where do you think this will go? Will this go to public health? Will this go to, well, there's a tax, it would probably be appropriations. Where do you think, where will this go? Human services? Or do you think it will die in committee?
Well, as indicated on the bill, and just so that other people can look it up, it's proposed Bill 1. It's LCO number 652. It indicates that it's referred to the Committee on Insurance and Real Estate.
Okay,
so that's where it would start. And then more than likely, if it's successful out of there, would, be a short session. So insurance and real estate would have to raise it for drafting purposes. And then it would probably go to public health from there, and then ultimately to appropriations. Not appropriations, go to finance, because it would be a revenue raise.
Oh, that's right. Raiser, that's true. It's right. It's not distributing money. It's taking in money, revenue.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, usually anytime you see SB1, it's usually a governor's bill. And And usually there's some legs to it, which kind of answers to me anyway why that bill still exists despite the very vague language thus far.
Mm. Yeah, last SB1 last time was the paid family leave bill.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, there is some. I think what you said is quite accurate.
Very interesting.
On another similar note, I've put in. I don't know if you know that. If you have a child that you're going to have cremated, the state charges you a tax.
Yeah, when I read that, that's absolutely insane. There is a tax on cremations.
The governor wants to raise the cremation tax for everyone, but I put in a bill to, you know, if you have to cremate a child, you shouldn't be paying a tax. So. Public Health this week did agree to raise my proposed bill to get rid of the cremated child tax, which I think is a good thing.
It's definitely a good thing. Before we let you go, I just received a text message from State Representative Kurt Vail. Thanks for listening, Kurt. I think we had Representative Vail on, I think it was last week, I believe, or maybe it was earlier this week. All these days, I tell you, it reminds me of being in the legislature. They just go into each other. He is reminding me that State Senator Lesser is the chairman of the insurance committee. So if you're the chairman of that committee that has cognizance over the bill, it's part of your role to really know each and every bill that comes before your committee that you are the chair of, to know it inside and out, backwards and forwards. So I guess there's the conflict that I'm having. If he is the chairman of the insurance committee, how can he say that there's no truth that this is a tax? When that's exactly what it appears to be, you know?
And the fact that, you know, 19 other senators signed on to this language and that no aide came to one of them and said, you know, hey, I want you to read this again before you sign off because somebody might take a turn on this, you know. And I want to thank my fellow member of the Connecticut General Assembly Conservative Caucus, Kurt Vail, for texting you. That's what the Conservative Caucus is all there. They're all about.
It just goes to show you that the state legislature is listening to the show. And in fact, that's not the first time that's ever happened. I've had State Senator Tony Wong, who's texted in the middle of the show, and other state legislators that right in the middle of the show. Of course, I know all these people. I have their cell phone numbers and have texted with them on many occasions. And it's great that they listen to the show and chime in and offer little tidbits like this. All right. So next time we bring you on, Craig, what I want to do is talk more about this cremation tax. We're running out of time now. I'm up against a little break here in about 1 minute. But I'd like to really kind of get into the weeds, so to speak, of that bill. I don't know if you're available next week or the week after, but that is just, when you said that, and I have to confess, I did read a little bit about it. I think it was Representative Jason Perillo mentioned something on Facebook, and I was casually scanning through it or scrolling through it, and I couldn't believe what I was reading. But then again, nothing, you know, being up there myself for 4 years, nothing surprises me. But a cremation tax is on children. It's just, what in the hell is going on up there? You know?
Agreed, yeah.
All right, so you don't mind coming back on another time, either next week or the week after, I hope.
I'm always listening to you anyway, so talking in the den. So.
You are awesome, no man. This is why you're so well respected up there. Can't thank you enough for being with us this morning.